happens, the transition to 1.1 is made from the student phase. So at this earliest level of the listening process, there's a progressive development of the capacity to make use of disciplines or self-reflecting mechanisms of one kind or another. You begin with the teaching itself at the student level, you add disciplines at 1.1 level, you add the reflective capacity of others at the 1.2 level. When all of that becomes summary insight, true, and the whole practice of self-enquiry is transformed by that understanding, then the transition to 1.3 is justified. Then the practice is quite different. We could say at this 1.3 level then that there is hearing. In some fundamental sense, there is hearing. And of course, the listening process continues. I mean, there's still much to observe. But the realization of hearing is enforcing itself already. It's manifesting itself in the form of self-enquiry. Whereas self-enquiry prior to that time, you see, is simply another sounding board, another instrument you have, like the disciplines in general, or the reflective capacity of others, another instrument you have to observe yourself. You inquire avoiding relationship, and in some sense you do say yes, and you notice in what form you are avoiding relationship, you see. So that's how the enquiry works in this earlier stage. But once you make the transition to this 1.3 level of the discipline, and you inquire avoiding relationship, there isn't any answer, yes, and so forth. You see, you're already encountering or observing some form of self-contraction. You inquire of it. That's the insight expressing itself, enforcing itself. It's not answered, rather, the enquiry itself is the feeling beyond self-contraction. It effectively is that. So instead of the self-contraction being suffered then, it is felt beyond. And the wholeness, the fullness of the ego-transcending condition, the natural or native condition, is realized. The not is not the experience then. What is prior to it is the experience. In the course of the 1.3 discipline, enquiry becomes not only profound and effective, you see, perhaps you spend more time at it as a formal meditative discipline. That might increase. Perhaps you already have been making use of formal enquiry and so on a couple of times a day or even three times a day. So you wouldn't do it more times a day than that, but you might spend more time at it in each sitting. So that might be a change that occurs at the 1.3 level. Another change would occur, in addition to the effectiveness or profundity of the process, is that the random exercise of self-enquiry may become more frequent and also then more potent. So this character, in the context of the first three stages of life, is transformed by this effective enquiry at the 1.3 level. Whereas prior to the 1.3 level, all the forms of practice are simply leading you to self-understanding. They're simply instruments for reflecting you to yourself. And you're developing a variety of insights leading toward a culminating or summary insight that gives you the arms of hearing, gives you the instrument of hearing, gives you the capacity for self-transcendence. So that capacity then is the exercise at the 1.3 level. And it goes on intensifying itself, showing a variety of signs of maturity in the context of the first three stages of life, until there is stability, equanimity, basic equanimity in the body-mind, and the heart response is full. The potential of the heart practice then is regenerated. Then the individual can make use of the company of the heart master as heart master, can make use of the spirit baptism, can be converted spiritually, entered into the spiritual process itself in the context of the higher and advancing stages of life, and right relationship to the teacher as true heart master is within your capacity then, once there is that stability, that maturity. So hearing develops in the level one of practice, it awakens in the level one of practice, and it also develops both of these things. This is an important understanding for you all to come to culturally, because this is one of the aspects of the practice, among many, of course, that has been bypassed. Moments of hearing, or a moment of hearing, is tended to be sufficient for you as a suggestion that you're prepared for the devotee stages. Full hearing, hearing in the fullest sense, was not awakened. It developed, if we call hearing at all, only in the superficial sense, relative to peripheral levels of insight. It didn't develop in the fullest sense, and then secondly, even whatever hearing, or whatever you might have called hearing, whatever of that did develop, it didn't become the basis for a continued process of maturing and transformation in the context of the first three stages of life as a preliminary to you making the transition to level two of practice. So this must be culturally understood, and I think adding this 1.3 designation is a useful way to make cultural sense out of it then. And then no one will make the transition to level two of practice until this 1.3 discipline has fulfilled itself in a basic maturity and stability.
Ananda, you were talking about the contraction, using the hand as an example. Yeah. It reminded me of the section in Donner's Testament. You talk about the insight that you had as you originally came to the root, where you noticed that your hand contracted, but its natural state was open.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a very important, simple, tacit insight. Didn't occur in some extraordinary moment. I wasn't doing anything unusual. I was just sitting around in the house one day. This is when I was living on 4th Street, an apartment upstairs. That's where I burned the manuscripts and so on. And it was around that time. I was just sitting in the room, perhaps in a chair or something like that. I noticed my hand at my side, whatever position my body might have been in, and my hand was closed up in a fist. I wasn't clenching it tight. It was just in a fist. And suddenly I understood something just in that observation. It just happened to coincide with this physical observation. That the hand is not naturally to be turned in on itself. The hand is for relationships. The hand is to touch things. That's why it's built the way it is. You see, it picks things up, touches things, moves around, it moves out. You see, it doesn't have any function closed up. And yet it was tending to be closed up. This observation of my hand became a thorough, total observation of myself, of the body-mind. How all of it had the same kind of, was showing the same picture to me. As somehow turned in on itself, trying to get inward, even go inward for spiritual reasons and so on. You see, this inward-turning gesture suddenly appeared to me to be false and not the way at all. The way is not about turning in inward towards some abstraction within. In fact, the reason one would do that is because of the self-contraction. It's another form of seeking. Whereas when the body-mind is in its natural state, inherently related, not even necessarily doing something at the moment, the hand just open, not grasping anything, but just open, you see, when the whole body-mind is in that disposition, the motive to seek within is released, and likewise the motive to seek without is released. There is a simple, natural, native condition in which self-understanding is complete, and freedom likewise. So this way of the heart is about that realization, and not about exploiting the possibilities exterior to the body-mind, or in the objects of the body-mind, or the body or the mind, nor is it a matter of turning in to the inward aspects, or the subtler aspects of this body-mind or mind, nor is it a matter of abandoning it and standing in some abstract position separate from the body-mind. It is a realization in the context even of what is arising. It is a realization of that which is always already the case, the condition of conditions, and that condition is not strategically separating itself from phenomena, nor is it merely identified with phenomena, it is prior to them. It is the native state of freedom, absolute, self-radiant. This realization